August 2017, my wife and at the time, 9-month-old son got in a car and we went to Palestine, Texas, for a funeral. My wife's grandmother had passed away and it was her funeral. And as we drove to Palestine in East Texas, I spent some time just reflecting on her life. She spent the last 3 or 4 years of her life living with Melanie's parents in Seguin, Texas. And I just remember all the great conversations that we had. I remember having a picture of her and her daughter and my wife and daughter of 4 generations. I remember the times where I saw her reading her Bible as a faithful follower of Jesus, reading devotional and her simple faith. And it was a sweet time. But we got to the funeral and First Baptist Palestine had built a new church. And it was a large facility for a smaller East Texas town. And we went in and the place was full. The place was full with people who wanted to remember Gladys Griffith, who had lived 94 years. And one of the things I didn't know about Gladys until that day was from 1933 until 2003, do the math, 70 years, she had served as a Sunday school teacher at First Baptist Church, Palestine. That's not a lie. I'm not making it up. There's evidence to back that up. This is the kind of person that Brooke Roberts wants to have in kids ministry back here. All right? She needs more. Brooke, you need more people? Where are you? That's the kind of person. This is a faithful servant. Listen, Christ Community Church, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, you got to be a servant. You got to be a servant. This is what the life of Gladys Griffith, she was a woman who loved Jesus. She wasn't a perfect woman, but she loved Jesus and she loved to serve her church. This is what the scripture says, right? The scripture says, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Jesus said that I come not to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom for many. And he calls us as believers in Christ to take up our cross and follow him. See, Jesus has this different kind of kingdom. It's an upside down kingdom. It's not like the kingdom of the world. Think about the kingdom of the world that I will run through, over, and around anyone to get to the place of leadership, to get to the place in the front. That's not the way the kingdom of Jesus is. Listen to that. That's not the way that God's kingdom is. And as a church, the great temptation for us is to kind of look at the kingdom of the world and say, we're going to elevate what the world elevates and do what the world does. But God calls us in the church, and you're going to see it in this text today, to elevate people who are faithful servants. So Paul is going to do that in the text this morning. A few questions before we get there. When it's all said and done in your life, when it's all said and done, how do you want to be known? What do you want to be known for? What's the epitaph of your life? What do you want it to be? Better yet, as a believer in Christ, how does God measure your life's impact? We know that God measures your life impact on the person and work of Jesus Christ. But he also calls us to take up our cross and follow him. So how is God measuring that? How is that measure in your life? What kind of leader are you? Listen, some of you would say that I'm not a leader. Yeah, you are. There are people in your life that you are leading all the time, whether you know it or not. What kind of leader do you want to be? Let me ask it this way. What kind of leader are you presently following? The people in your life that you follow, why do you follow them? Is it because they are faithful servants of Christ? That they have proven worth. This is what we're going to see in this text today. So it's a call for the church to honor and lift up and elevate those who are faithful like Jesus. And in this text, like Timothy, like Epaphroditus. You ever heard that name? Maybe not. He's unknown to you, but he was a faithful servant. So those are the questions. Paul often uses people in his letters in two different ways, either to as an example of how to do it or how not to do it. My old pastor, Tommy Nelson, up in Denton Bible Church, I spent a year in his discipleship program, and he spent a year investing in us. And at the end of it, he says, men, don't make me use you as a sermon illustration. And so Paul here in this text is going to give us two good sermon illustrations. He's going to give us two examples of people who were faithful servants for a long time, who are sacrificial, who are loyal, who are faithful to Christ. And he's going to lift them up. Think about the context in the last few weeks. We've been in Philippians 2. We're at the end of it right now. Philippians 1, the beginning of chapter 1, what happens? Paul gives the Philippians, who are doing pretty well, he gives them some exhortations. And he says to them, listen, you need to put others' interests above your own. You need to have unity through humility and through sacrifice, like Jesus. That's what he does. He lifts up Jesus, and what does he say? He says, Jesus has humbled himself to the point of death, death on the cross, come from heaven to earth, and died for you. He's the ultimate example of what it looks like to have humility, of what it looks like to have unity, what it looks like to be sacrificial. And we saw that example. But sometimes if you're like me, you go, well, I'm not Jesus. I can't be like that. And so we kind of default into going, nobody's like that. But here's what Paul does in this text. He says, oh yeah, well, there's two guys. There's two human beings who are fallen, and yet they're men who have faithfully served Christ. They're men who are fallen men, but they have the Spirit of God working in them. By God's grace, they are exhibiting faithful servanthood. And so that's what we're going to see in this text. Actually, there's three men, because I'm going to include Paul in that as well. So let's read all that. Let's read Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 30. If you have a Bible, if you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible in the chair in front of you. You guys grab Bibles. We're going to read this together. Actually, I'll read. You can listen. Page 981 in the Bible in front of you. Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 30. Look at it. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I may too be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with the father, he has served me in the gospel. I hope therefore to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. I have thought it necessary also to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death, but God had mercy on him, and not only to him, but also to me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. And I am more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy. And honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. Three different men. Here's what we know about Paul. Paul was a servant, leader of leaders. Timothy, I would say this about Timothy. He was Paul's son in the Lord. Paul had led him to Christ. If I had to look at Timothy's life, I would in general say that Timothy was a loyal, faithful, proven servant. In Epaphroditus, he was the ordinary churchman in the Philippian church who sacrificially served. There's your summary of those three guys. But I want to look at this a little bit. I want to kind of give you the situation so you can unpack this a little bit. And then we're going to do kind of character study for a little bit. So the situation is this. Paul's in prison. He's in house arrest in Rome. And Timothy is with him. And then what happens is Epaphroditus comes from Philippi, and he brings a gift from this poor church that doesn't have a lot of money. He brings a financial gift. This is the only church, remember, this is the only church that continued to support him. And he brings this gift from from Macedonia to Rome, where they're at. And on the way, Epaphroditus gets sick, it looks like. And yet he continues to track all the way to Rome and come to Paul. And so Paul has these two men who he's raised up in the Lord. They're faithful servants. And he's going to send Epaphroditus, after he comes out of his sickness, back to the Philippians so that they would receive joy from that. And he also wants to send Timothy so that Timothy can report back to him the cheerful news of how the Philippians are doing. So that's the situation. Character study. The cool thing about character study is we can relate a little bit. The difficult thing about character study is we tend to elevate and deify characters in the Bible. We don't want to do this, but these were men who were faithful, but they were also fallen. They weren't perfect. Go read about Timothy in 2 Timothy. Paul gives him a hard time a little bit. So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to look at all three of these men, because not only was Epaphroditus and not only was were Timothy, Paul was writing about them to endear them to the Philippian church. But look, I want you to see Paul as well, because he's a servant. And so let's take Paul first. Let me give you four things about Paul from this text and in general. I think Paul was a reproducing discipler of men. He wanted to multiply his efforts. He was a discipler. He was willing to train up. And the word sent, look at this text. The word sent is all over this text with both of these men. He was willing then to send these men two churches for the name of Christ. He's a reproducing discipler. He was also a shepherd. If you read through this passage, that's what you see of Paul. He was a man who was a shepherd of this church. He cared more for the interest of the Philippian church than his own interests. Remember his situation. He was either going to be executed or let go. He was either going to be executed or let go. And so to have a Timothy, his protege, his apprentice with him and comfort him and walk with him was a big deal. And yet he was willing to send both of these men away, or particularly Epaphroditus back. So you see a man, Paul, a leader of leaders who was a shepherd. Those two things weren't separated. Leaders and shepherds, they were together. They were servant leadership here from Paul. Third thing that I see in this text is that Paul was human. All right? We tend to deify Paul. He was human. He needed companionship. Do you see in this text, if you look at it, if you see how he's torn, like he wants to keep Timothy. I'm going to wait, right? I'm going to wait until we figure out what's going on here. I really like Epaphroditus, but I'm going to send him back. He's torn. He wants these men to be with him. He's raised them up. These are his proteges. These are the guys he's poured his life into, and he enjoys them being with him to encourage him and challenge him. But he knows the mission is bigger than him, and he's willing to send them away. And so he needs companionship. And last, I would say about Paul, he put his hope and his trust in the Lord. Look at it, verse 20, 19. It says, I hope in Jesus Christ. Verse 24, this is important. Verse 24, it says, I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. I'm trusting in the Lord that I might come. Pop quiz. Does he ever get there? Answer, I don't know. There's some people who would suggest that this time he got out of prison in Rome and he went to some different areas. The book of Acts doesn't tell us. Okay? He may or may not have got this from the Lord. But here's the point. The point is, later on, what happens? He either stays in prison here and is executed, or later, what happens? He's executed. Okay? So, Paul, if you look at his life, whether he got the answer he wanted or not from the Lord, he's faithful. He still hopes in the Lord. Listen, this text says that I can trust in the Lord. Guess what? We always don't get that answer. We always don't get the genie answer we want from God. And Paul was willing to say, I can still trust in the Lord. Listen, if there's anyone that ever tells you that your faith or your trust in the Lord will yield you something, and if it doesn't, then that's your problem, you should run. You should run from that kind of theology because it's not true. But Paul was willing to hope and trust in the Lord regardless of the circumstance. And that's what you see in this text. He's trusting in the Lord, and that's not any different than getting what he wants or doesn't. Okay? So, Paul, let me ask you this morning. Do you have any Timothys or Epaphroditus's in your life? People, are you being a Paul to someone, in other words? This is what I think maybe an application to this text can be. And maybe you say, well, I'm not a leader. You are a leader. Think about the people in your life that look up to you. Maybe it's your little ones. Maybe it's those little ones that are looking at you going, where do we go? You know how they follow you and the things that you say on the road? I think one of the first bad words my son ever learned was idiot, because he listened to me while I was driving and talking to people, just talking to people. Not cool. They're listening. They're learning. This is what Paul's showing these men. All right? Do you have any of these in your life? Are you willing to receive, and I think you see this in the text too, are you really willing to receive encouragement from Timothy's and Epaphroditus's in your life? I think you see this. I think Paul is so excited about what God has been doing in the life of Timothy. You see it all the way through the New Testament. Epaphroditus, those who have served him and with him, that's what you see. You know, some of the most interesting times, even in ministry for me, when you're a youth pastor for like 10 years and kids grow up and they like go to college and then they have start having kids and their kids get in like youth group. I mean, you get old. But one of the coolest things is when you're going through trouble and you've spent time and effort with people, maybe you're a Paul to somebody. Some of the coolest times of my life is when I've been going through a lot and I'll get a call from one of my former students. Hey, can I come over? I know this is a hard time for you. I want to pray for you. Are you willing to receive that from someone that you've been pouring into? I think that's what you see here. Paul is overjoyed by what he sees in these men. And so, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to trust and hope in the Lord, whether he answers your prayers, desires, or plans or not? You know, there's a lot of doors that I know for you that you probably knock on, whether it's related to health, whether it's related to kids, whether it's related to job, whether it's related to just trouble in your life. We knock on doors. Does God open them all? He doesn't. Just like Paul, he doesn't open all the doors he wants us to open, even when we're trusting in him. But God wants to teach us to follow him and trust him more. And this is what you see here. How do I do that? You're going, okay, well, how do I be a Paul to somebody? Because that sounds kind of arrogant. Like, how am I going to go and talk to somebody about, hey, you want to meet with me? Because I know everything. Paul didn't know everything. And yet he invested in people. So let me just encourage you. If you've been walking with Jesus for a while, look for younger brothers, younger sisters. Maybe they're in their community group. Maybe they're in men's group. Maybe they're in women's ministry that you can invest in. It is not arrogant of you. I promise you, younger people want this. They want you to say, hey, let's go grab lunch. Let's go play golf together to get to know one another. Okay? So you can do this. Take the initiative. Don't just rely on the programs that this church has to do that. Go do it. You have the freedom to go do that. We want you to do that with younger believers. There's a lot of young people in here. They need older, wiser people in their lives to help them, with kids, to help them with, maybe they're single and they're going, how do I do work? There are tons of people here that could use your investment in their lives. Never believe that you don't have something to offer somebody else in this room. I promise you, you do. So Paul was a servant leader of leaders. What about Timothy? Look at Timothy here. Timothy was this loyal, faithful servant and son to Paul. You know his profile, many of you do. He was Paul's protege. He was known. He was this kind of combination of Jewish, Greek guy that fit the ministry and the mission that Paul was on. And so they were together. You read it in 2 Timothy that his grandmother and his mother poured the scriptures into him at a young age. If you're a mother or you're a grandmother or you're a dad or you're a grandfather, this is your job, that the next generation might know you, know God and praise him, Psalm 70. This is what happened to Timothy. And then it looks like that Paul led Timothy to Christ. At some point in Lystra, where he's from, it looks like he led him to Christ. And then Timothy spent about 12 years, it looks like, just learning from Paul and doing ministry with Paul. And wherever Paul wanted to send him, he was faithful. He was number two, all right? He would do what Paul wanted him to do for the sake of the gospel. He was willing to do that. What a great man. What a great man of God who desired to serve the Lord by serving Paul. And working with Paul because he loved the gospel. See, in this text, look at the description. Look at the description of Timothy. Man, I would love someone to say this were true about me, and it would actually be so. For I have no one like him. That's a pretty big commendation from Paul. What an encouragement. I have no one like him. It's not that Paul didn't have other guys that were faithful. He just had no one like him. No one of kindred spirit like Paul. He'd walked so long with Paul, he could probably finish the guy's sentences. Who will be genuinely concerned with your welfare. This is a guy who Paul believes will shepherd this church, not out of self-interest, but the interest of this church. That's what you see about Timothy. Keep looking, verse 21. They all seek their own interest, so he's comparing Timothy to other people that were around, not those of Jesus Christ, but you know Timothy's, what's the next word, two words? Proven worth. He's been with Paul for 12 years. Paul's been able to look at him and go, hey, he's vetted. He's got a resume of faithful service. He's been doing this for 12 years. That's the kind of guy. That's the kind of girl that we elevate in leadership. That's the kind of person that you want to be discipled by. That's what Paul's saying here. You know, you got any Pauls in your life? You got any people that are faithful and service and shepherd, their faithful pastor. This is what Timothy is. He's just a shepherd who loves people well. This is what Paul sees in him. You got anybody like that? Anybody like that in your life? He's kind of like the Cal Ripken of baseball. He's like that for ministry. This is what Timothy's like. You can plug in the blank of any other sports you want to there. You got any Pauls in your life? You know, I have been grateful to God for many people in my life that have served in that capacity. When I think of Michael Boyes for 17 years, being able to sit under him. I know some of you look at Michael and maybe you see him on Sunday and you didn't know him that well. But I would much rather have the sound clips of conversations that he's had with me and he's had with other people in a counseling setting than I would even of what's online that I can listen to of his teaching. That's how much of a shepherd Michael Boyes was. And it was just an awesome thing for me to be able to, just listen and learn from 17 years. He was a faithful servant. There's a guy here, Jimmy Bailey. I think he's vacationing for like a month in Michigan. Somebody go like text him or something right now and give him a hard time. But he's playing a lot of golf in Michigan right now. But Jimmy Bailey for 17 years, I can pull out a file that I have at home that I keep of encouraging words. And the last 17 years, he sent me so many of those. I don't even know where to start. I pull them out. He's such an encourager. There's a guy that I worked for at camp when I was a new believer named Johnny Polk. Anybody know Johnny Polk from TBRM? Incredible dude. And grabbed me when I had a lot of zeal, but I didn't have a lot of knowledge, and just honed and refined and helped me grow in my faith. He still texts me almost every month an encouraging word as a Paul in my life. The guy who led me to Christ 20 years ago, Mark Perry. I mean, that guy not only led me to Christ and left, he let me live with his family, and he showed me how to do this Christian life. Do you have any Pauls in your life? Are you willing to receive that? Are you willing to open up your life and have people pour into your life? It's a really cool thing. It's a thing that will grow you and change you almost like nothing else through the Spirit. So, Timothy, how do you do that? It's the same thing. I'm going to tell you this again. How do I go about finding a Paul in my life? Observe. Observe people around here that are faithful. Observe people around here that love Christ, and you can see it, and invite them to lunch. You pay. Okay? You hear that, youngsters? Pay. All right? Pay for their lunch. They can pray. You pay. Invite them to lunch. I want to get to know you. Would you be willing to spend time with me, learning so I can learn and grow? And that may be 1 week, and maybe it doesn't work out, but maybe it does. When I was in a discipleship program, it was interesting. I'm going to use Tommy Nelson again, but there were about 40 guys in the room in this program. And Tommy said, when did you start growing in your faith? I mean, you came to Christ here. At what point? How long did it take? And everybody went around the room and shared immediately 5 years, 10 years. What was one of the determining factors to that, given that the Spirit's at work in your life? And every guy said, somebody in my life invested in me and spent time with me and helped me and loved me in spite of me and helped me grow. Awesome opportunity. Take it. Well, Timothy was a loyal, faithful servant. God raised him up. Paul and Timothy were kind of like, though, they were kind of like the known commodities in the day. They were kind of like even though we were both servants, they were the known, they were kind of the known guys. But take a look at Epaphroditus. He's the unknown churchman. You don't see him anywhere else, anywhere in Scripture. What we see in this text is that he's the messenger, right? He takes the money to Paul in Rome. And so that means that they trust him. But look at the way this text, Paul describes Epaphroditus to the Philippians to endear them back, because he's from there. He's from this place. Look at it. He's my Paul, verse 25. You know, when you get older, this is really interesting. Like, I've tried to blame a lot of things, but my Bible, like, I have to do this now. Is that normal? I'm serious. This is a new thing. Like, in the last couple of weeks, can somebody older help me out with this? I'm not doing glasses, all right? I've been blaming it on my allergies and my eye drops, but, oh, man. Google's not nice either. Sorry, random. The way Paul talks about Epaphroditus to endear him. He's my brother. He's my fellow worker. So he's my fellow soldier. Interestingly enough, what did Paul say about Timothy in 2 Timothy? That he's my single-minded brother. He's single-minded. He's a soldier. So both of these men are by Paul's side in the fight, in the mission of God. He's your messenger and minister to my need. Messenger is what I just described, but minister, when you look at it, you might say, well, he has an official position in this church. This word does not suggest that. As a matter of fact, minister in this text, the word we get here, is one who serves at his own expense. He's not on staff. He's not on staff at this church, at the Philippian church. Unlike maybe Paul or Timothy, He's a volunteer. He's like you. He's an everyday person in this church. And guess what he was willing to do? He was willing to go from Philippi to Rome. On the way, he gets sick. Does he turn back? No. He keeps going. And guess what? Caesar's running the show in Rome. Paul's waiting to be executed. So guess what? If Caesar decides he's going to take Paul out, guess what? He could do the same to Epaphroditus. This is a volunteer. This isn't a guy who signed up. This is a guy who's getting paid. This is the guy who's a volunteer. This is a guy who sacrificially serves for the sake of the gospel. And this is what you see in this text. He's an unknown. He's just a brother, a faithful brother who sacrificially volunteers and serves for the sake of Christ. You know, it kind of blows me away. But when I think of this church, I think of all the people in this church that serve in this way. I mean, people that are willing to go on a mission trip and pay money to go on a mission trip and not get paid maybe the week that they're gone so they can serve. When I think of community group leaders who don't get a lot of praise, they just get a lot of complaining, kind of like the AV guys back here. Y'all did great, by the way. Man, like you sign up your time and your effort to be Epaphroditus. That's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. And what you see in here is that it brings joy. It brings joy to Paul to see that. It brings joy to me and Todd and the leaders of this church to see you. To see you faithfully, sacrificially serving, not because you're getting something out of it, because you love Jesus. And that's what the church ought to be. It ought to be filled with Epaphroditus. And that's what I see here. Students, listen, you got a week where you're going to be thrust into this service deal, that you're not looking out for your own interests, but the interests of others. You're thrust in. And so I pray that you, this week, as you go to San Antonio, some of you have been there before, some of you haven't. I pray that you, this week, that you would serve in that way, that you wouldn't look out for your own interest. It's kind of hard, actually, on a week like this for you to do that. That you serve others, whether the person in that home appreciates what you do this week or not, serve unto the Lord. Serve Christ unto the Lord. There is joy in that. There's a deep joy in that. And maybe Richmond has this verse, don't grumble and complain. That was last week's text. He's been focusing on that. But let God do a work in your heart through service. Not because somebody's going to tell you, great job, because you want to serve Christ. It's a great opportunity for you to do that this week. What's the outcome here? The outcome is, Paul says, honor such people like this. Honor such people like this. Verse 29, receive joy. He receives joy from it. You see, the church is a place for sacrificial service. Is it a place for sacrificial service for you? I hope so. I see that all over this place. That's what the church ought to be. Is it that, or is it a place where you consume or complain? It's not a place for that. And the beauty is there's a lot of Epaphroditus running around here. And it's made it a joy for me as one of your pastors to serve here and serve you, because that's what I see here. I see people who are willing to put down the plow and serve and care for people. It's been a joy. Paul, Timothy, Epaphroditus, they're model servants. That's what I would say. They're not perfect. There are people who need Jesus. And maybe you're here this morning and you need Jesus. But what you need to know about Jesus is that he laid down his life for you. That he's not going to do something he's going to ask you to do. That he laid down his life. You can't do that, by the way. You can try to pull up your bootstraps as much as you want and serve and care. But Jesus has laid down his life for you that you might have a life. You can't work your way there. And that's what Jesus has done for you. So if you're here this morning, you need to consider Christ and what he's done on a cross for you that you can't do for yourself. And he's willing to lay his life down for you and for me that we might have forgiveness and eternal life. You know, it's interesting. 6 months ago, I was having lunch with a guy. And we got to talking. I didn't know him very well. We got to talking and he told me his wife is from Palestine, Texas. And I said, hey, do you know the Crabtrees? Do you know the Griffiths? And or does your wife know the Crabtrees? Does your wife know the Griffiths? And he looked at me like, oh my gosh. And he said, my wife not only knows them, I know them. The reason I know them is because they grew up with the Crabtrees and the Griffiths, and they know Gladys. And we came back to Gladys's funeral. They live in California. We came back to Gladys Griffith's funeral in 2007, because she made such an impact on my life. Listen, You want to be somebody? You want to be somebody in God's upside down kingdom? Be a servant by the power of the Spirit and God's grace working in your life. Let me pray. Father, thank you for today. Thanks for an opportunity to open your word that we might be encouraged and challenged to be like Christ, to take up a cross and follow him, not out of some misguided view that we just need to pull up our bootstraps, not by our own strength, not by our own power, but the power in which you provide through your Spirit. So Lord, I pray that as we step out of here today, that we would consider how we can serve those around us. For these students, I pray that this would be just a sweet week, that they can etch into their brains of the way in which you worked in their life. In San Antonio, that they might see just the joy and the satisfaction that comes by in serving you and laying their life down and sweating and picking up a shovel and caring for people. And Lord, I pray for us that we would think about what can I serve my wife today, my kids today, or my friends today, that we would look like Christ, that we would look like these servants. Lord, we can't do that on our own, so I pray that you would do that work in and through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Ooh, that's heavy. Well, wanted to share a little bit. If you got the email this week, you know some of the news. If you didn't, I'm sorry. The Thorntons are, man, this is fun. God has really been working in our lives, my life, in the last few years, and been in ministry for 17 years, and felt like all along at some point that the calling was lead pastor somewhere, and didn't know where that was. And it looks like in God's sovereign plan, he has opened that door for me to be a lead pastor. Me to be a lead pastor at a church called Christ Community Church. How about that? I'm not going to mess that one up. Christ Community Church up in Magnolia, Texas. So when you think Magnolia, you probably think the small town outside, but really in my mind from here, I just know like that area by golf courses. And so like 1488 and 2978, so kind of new Magnolia. And so over the last few months, God just going to put it on my heart. There's not many openings in Acts 29, especially in Texas, and that's kind of, you know, families kind of bound for Texas here. And so just been looking at that and praying about that, and God's opened that door for us to go to a church about 40 miles from here to serve as lead pastor, and we're excited about that. It's bittersweet. Man, it's bittersweet. I think we've done life with some of you. I told my second service, come on. Did that first service, thought I could do this. We've been doing life with some of you for a few months. We've been doing life with many of you for 7 years here as we planted Christ Community. I've been doing life with some of you for 17 years. Some of these kids have grown up, and we've loved every bit of it. And it's been a true blessing. And so God has just chosen to open that door. And so we're stepping through that. We'll be here for a number of more weeks. My last Sunday is August 11th. They're trying to transition me in. But here's what I want to say to you. I want to say to you, you need to trust the Lord as a church. You need to trust the Lord. You need to trust your elders. They're good men. You need to trust that God, whoever the next guy is for you, that you need to open your heart to him and his family so that he can come here and be a blessing to you, and preach the word to you, and care for you. And so that's my prayer for you as a church. We'll be here for a few more weeks. Excited to meet with you and talk with you, but we love you. We've loved being a part of this church. We've loved just an opportunity to serve a bunch of Epaphroditus, if you will. And so it's a rich blessing to us.